SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, February 24th, episode 126. Thank you for listening, folks. And let's just dive right in to the tip-off topic. Leading off with Luka Doncic puts on a show. After struggling in his first couple of games with the Lakers, Luka was all up in his bag on Saturday night as the Lakers blew out the Denver Nuggets 123-100. Why is this significant? Because we saw what we think we needed to see out of Luka. 32 points, 10 out of 22 from the floor, 4 out of 9 from 3, 8 out of 8 from the foul line, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. And guess what? Only 31 minutes of action. Why is this significant? I've always said that to play with LeBron James, someone that commands so much attention, you have to surround the floor with shooters. But Luke is not a shooter. He's a ball handler. No, folks, he can do both. And his ability to knock down threes, 4 to 9 from the three-point line. With him and LeBron, they make everyone around them significantly better. Look at Rui Hachimura. 7 out of 12, 4 to 9 from 3, 21 points. Austin Reaves, who would be benefiting more than anybody in the Lakers team, 23 points, 7 out of 13, 4 out of 7 from 3. So when you look at those two guys to get 44 points and 8 threes out of Hachimura and Reaves, it allows more driving lanes. It makes it harder to guard the Lakers. And this is where they get scary. Downright scary. Forget the fact that the rest of the guys, you know, on the bench scored, I think, 19 points. Who cares? If you get this out of LeBron, which is 25, 9, and 5, and you get 32, 10, and 7 from Luka, and you get 23 from Reaves, 21 from Rui, and Austin and Rui, and Luka hit 4 threes each. Lakers are dangerous. Now, you got to be concerned with their play in the post, but they did something really smart if you watched the game. They, even though Jackson Hayes played 25 minutes, they stuck LeBron on Joker. They stuck Hachimura on him. They stuck Vanderbilt on him. I think even Finney Smith got a little bit of him. And then they sent the doubles quick. And they took away sight lines. Mike Malone's got to adjust. Next time you play the Lakers, watch the Joker go to the high post, to the elbow, where he's got the sight lines to go ahead and see. Next up, this Wemby thing shook me up, folks. Victor Wembanyama out for the year with blood clots. And you get concerned because these guys fly a lot, right? Elevation, flights, blood clots. You can't play with this. Now, we got to hope this is the Thompson twin who had this issue. And I think Brent Ingram as well. Mistake me if I'm wrong. They came back from it. This ended Chris Bosh's career. So now, what do we get with San Antonio? Folks, do you know they still have their first-round pick? Folks, do you know that they have Atlanta's first-round pick? If Atlanta starts losing and the Spurs start sliding, what happens if the Spurs get into the top three? And they can get an Ace Bailey? Or they can get a Cooper Flagg? I don't think Dylan Harper really does it for them because they're at Stephon Castle, unless you play Castle with Harper. So, interesting times in San Antonio, who also lost Greg Popovich for the rest of the year. I was so high on this team. I thought that they were going to go over their team total in wins. Right now, San Antonio is sitting at 24 wins. We'll see if they can get over. I think it was 35 and a half. So that's going to be a little bit tough sledding at this point, especially the fact that they're 3-7 straight up the last 10 games. But most importantly, for the league, we need Victor Wembanyama back and healthy next year. Speaking of teams struggling, New York Knicks are struggling versus top teams. And you have to wonder who they are. It's funny. Brian Windhorst, before they played Cleveland, called the Knicks a great regular season team, and I was ticked. And then I went and watched them play versus Cleveland, lost by 40. And Celtics just absolutely blew their doors off in the third quarter, and sometimes uncompetitive, not competitive. The Knicks versus the top three teams in the league, Oklahoma City, Boston, Cleveland, 0-7. And you take out the 110-104 loss to Cleveland at home in October, and they've lost by double digits every game. They need Mitchell Robinson back because of the fact that they don't have rim protection. And you need an offensive rebounder to kind of muck the game up. They need OJ Anunoby to be healthy, which he's battling an injury with his foot. They need Mikal Bridges to be the guy that they gave up 5 first-round draft picks for. But they also need to stay healthy. They also need a bench. They also need Tibbs to be better defensively. See where I'm going, folks? It's a lot of ifs with the Knicks. A lot of ifs. Let me say this. This is the best Knicks team in 25 years. I get that. I get it. But you can't watch the Knicks over the last 2 games and tell me that they are legit NBA title contenders. I was talking to my buddy Nick Costas a little earlier on text, and Nick goes, they're going to be fine. You just got to get healthy. Folks, remember this. Remember this, folks, the Knicks. OG Anunoby, injury concerns in his career. Cat, injury concerns in his career. Mitchell Robinson, injury concerns throughout his career. And Tibbs plays his guy too many minutes. The question is, the Knicks will make the playoffs. Number one, do they fix their defensive problems? And two, are they actually healthy when they get there? Speaking of the Garden, there was a Garden party yesterday afternoon. Started at noon. Who led the charge? Slick Rick the Ruler. St. John's, 89-75 win over UConn. And what else can you say about this team? 5 guys in double figures. Enter forward, Kyari Richmond, 18 points apiece. What can you say about Devian Smith having 8 or 9 assists, the ability to penetrate and kick and find shooters? What can you say about the rest of these guys? Folks, simply put, name a team besides Auburn and Duke that is playing better than them. No one's playing better than them right now besides Auburn and Duke. It's all going to be about matchups for Slick Rick and St. John's. Can they get the right matchups when it comes to the NCAA tournament? And remember, East first, second round. Providence, the regional finals. Prudential Center, New York, New Jersey. Could St. John's pull a UConn and not leave the Northeast? That is going to be critical to a team like St. John's, who I think, based on matchups, keep them away from Duke, keep them away from Auburn. Remember, Duke and Auburn are probably going Midwest, and they're going South. If no one has consequences in the East, watch them make a run. Coming up next after the commercial break, we'll get into our award tour. We'll look at the Defensive Player of the Year award. Now that Wembanyama is out of action, we'll look at 3 college teams. Arkansas, we'll take a look at Texas, and we'll take a look at Indiana, who had 2 big wins. Will either one of those or any of those teams make the NCAA tournament? Forget the odds. Get the coaching perspective. We'll be back with our award tour after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Betting Mother and Podcast, episode 126. Hopefully I didn't mess it up. If I didn't mess it up before, my bad. But it's 126 to make sure we're all on the same page. I'm a coach. I can make mistakes. Let's get into our award tour. Let's start with the Defensive Player of the Year odds. Obviously, Victor Wembanyama on December 13th was at minus 200. Jaren Jackson, 5-1. Evan Mobley, 15-1. Rudy Gobert, 25-1. Jalen Suggs, 35-1. Along with SGA, Lou Dort, 40-1. Along with Bam, Giannis, Draymond. It got way worse than that. I think he was at minus 2,000 at some point. But now, Wembanyama's out. So the lines as of today is Jaren Jackson Jr. plus 125. Evan Mobley plus 130. Lou Dort 15-1. SGA 20-1. Dyson Daniels 20-1. Jalen Williams 25-1. 30-1 for Amen Thompson. And then, what? Ivanka Zubac made it? 40-1. Oh my God, we're not even going any deeper than that. I can't. So where do we go? Because of Oklahoma City, you're going to think Lou Dort. Lou Dort's not even the best defender on that team. I think Jalen Williams is a better defender. I think the best defender on the team is Alex Caruso. Well, you're not going to give the award to someone coming off the bench, right? So I think the Thunder guys cancel each other out. So now we're looking at Jackson Mobley or not. Folks, give me the Great Barrier Reef. Who? Dyson Daniels. Atlanta is playing better basketball. They've been better defensively. And a main reason why is his ability to stop high-level guards. This is a value play here. I'm going with Dyson Daniels of the Atlanta Hawks, 20-1. And his number, folks, I'm going to say his number was at 35-1, less than, I think, even after the injury to Wemby. So his number is falling fast. He could be the best guard defender in the NBA, not named Drew Holiday. By the way, why isn't Drew on the list? Maybe it has to do with injuries. I don't know. Let's move on to teams to make the NCAA tournament. And when I saw this pop up on FanDuel, I saw Arkansas, who had a really good win over Missouri, which I called because it's just a simple fact that you can't expect a team like Missouri to turn around and win at home versus Alabama, and then turn around 3 days later and beat Arkansas, a team that needed the game. So it got me thinking, right? Like, can Arkansas really make the tournament at minus 255? Like, folks, do you want to think about this for a second? Arkansas has nine conference losses. They're tied for 11th in the league, and they're minus money? Minus 255? Let's go through it, right? Auburn in, Florida in, Alabama in, Tennessee in, A&M in, Missouri in, Ole Miss in, Kentucky in, Mississippi State in. That's nine! Are they going to take 11? And we haven't even got to Texas next. So maybe there's one spot left, right? One spot left. Vandy, Arkansas, Texas. I don't think any three of them make it. This team in Arkansas is wildly inconsistent, right? Who have they beaten? Look at their schedule. All right, they beat Missouri. Okay. They beat competitive. They beat Kentucky at Kentucky. Hey, that's a Cal game. What's their next best win? Michigan? By two? In a bad Big Ten? Plus 188, Arkansas to miss the NCAA tournament. Let's get the Indiana to Texas. Minus 156 to make the tournament. And they are, think about the schedule, they are tied with Arkansas. So they ain't taking both of them. They're going to take one, unless they take none. And you look at Texas's schedule, give me their big win. Kentucky, who's in a kind of been a little bit of a free fall, right? A&M by one. But folks, they've also lost at A&M by 20. They've also lost at Florida by 24, right? They just lost at Vanderbilt by 8. So if I'm taking anybody out of those three teams, I'm taking Vandy. I don't even think Vandy deserves to be in. And if you think about down the stretch for Texas, Arkansas, Georgia, Mississippi State, Oklahoma, could they go 4-0? Yeah. They also can go 0-4. Texas plus 120 to miss out on the NCAA tournament. And then the last one, Indiana. Why couldn't this guy say he was leaving weeks ago? Because as soon as it announced that Mike Woodson was stepping out at the end of the season, they went off and they just beat, I want to say, Michigan State and someone else, like right off back-to-back, right? So they're 7-9 in the league. Michigan State getting in, Michigan in, Maryland in, Wisconsin in, UCLA in, Purdue in, Illinois in, that's where they beat Purdue, Illinois in, Oregon in. So now you're taking 9 teams out of the Big Ten? Who is that league beat in season at a conference? You kidding me with this? Just because they win a couple of games does not, to me, give off the vibe that they should be in. Now, what helps them is the stretch. Home Penn State, at Washington, at Oregon, home Ohio State. To me, I think they got to go 3-1. I don't think they win at Oregon, and I don't think they beat Ohio State. I still think it's a no. I was a no weeks ago. I'm not coming off it. So guess what? Jay Wise, I'm all about today. The answer is no. No to Indiana, no to Arkansas, and no to Texas. Guess I don't like anybody today. We'll be back at this commercial break as we get into our scouting report. We break down Florida versus Georgia. We break down Mississippi State, Alabama, two big games in the SEC. Another big one, Vanderbilt at Texas A&M, and two games in NBA, and maybe a buzzer beater if I talk really fast. We'll be back after this commercial break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 126. Before we get into our scouting report, just want to let people know that Joel Embiid, I know you'll hear this on Tuesday, was just ruled out tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers. According to Shams, he's going to consult with team doctors. Folks, shut him down. And he should have been shut down and not allowed to play in the Olympics. Shut him down, get Joel Embiid healthy. Let's get to our scouting report. Leading off with Florida at Georgia. A Florida team that, you know, my producer, Matty George, has been on them way before I have. And I'll be perfectly honest, I have my concerns with this team, particularly away from home. But they've looked really, really good, folks. They haven't lost a game since losing to Tennessee by 20. And you figured they were going to lose by 20 after they beat Tennessee by 30 a couple of weeks before. But they've rattled off Vanderbilt, at Auburn, at State, home South Carolina, home Oklahoma, at LSU. Simply put, I'm taking Florida minus the points on the road. It should not be a big spread. They are playing extremely good basketball. Georgia, which was at a great start to the year, has lost 4 in a row. They're in an absolute free fall. Take Florida minus the points on the road. Next matchup, Mississippi State versus Alabama. So when you think about this matchup here, you have contrasting styles, right? Mississippi State is more of a grinded out team versus an Alabama team that wants to push the pace. You look at an Alabama team that scores 91 points per game versus a team that gives up 72 points per game. Alabama, to me, I was concerned because they shoot a lot of threes. I think they're going to score a ton. Look at Alabama team total over, a team that scored 96, 98, 85, 103, 85 last five games. Get the Vandy, Texas A&M. Texas A&M was in a rough game over the weekend versus Tennessee, or a great matchup that they lost at home. But they're not going to lose at home to Vanderbilt. This is a Wednesday game, folks. This team is struggling, Vanderbilt. I told team people down the stretch I was going to be concerned about Vandy. I know they got the win at Ole Miss, at home versus Ole Miss, but it's at home. They have to go on the road. If you think about the last couple of road games, they have lost and I believe not covered. No, they covered against Tennessee, but they have not covered at Kentucky. Go ahead and take A&M minus a point at home. NBA, guess who's back again. Luka's back. Don't tell Nico Harrison. So Luka is going to take on his old team, the Dallas Mavericks. And boy, there should be some cinema. Most excited person on the network, K-Dub, Kevin Walsh. Not even close. Listen, folks, Dallas is about making the playoffs. Lakers about making a run. I'm going to say this. Wild take comment of the day. Luka Doncic over PRA. They get him busy. Luka double-double, if you can find it, like at less than minus 150, and sprinkle a Luka triple-double. He's going to make a statement versus the Mavs. Last matchup, Bucks at Rockets. Last time the Bucks and the Rockets played, the Bucks won by one on a second leg of a back-to-back for Alperen Şengün and the Rockets. And if you look at this Rockets team really had a really bad loss, last game versus Utah. They bounced back. Give me the Rockets minus the points. Really quick, I wanted to bring this up as a buzzer beater. Two really good games over the weekend, women's college basketball. TCU Horned Frogs won by 21. Great job by Mark and Chavi, what they're doing over there. But it's NC State, 104-95. What did I talk about? I mentioned Sonya Citron, Hannah Hidalgo, Olivia Miles, and Zoe Brooks. And what happened? Jersey showed up. Jersey showed out. And all four of those who are connected to the Philadelphia Rise program were absolutely sensational. Nothing better than the pride of St. John Vianney High School. 33 points for Zoe Brooks. I told every last one of y'all that it was coming. Well, she came, she done went, and she was the best player on the floor. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for February 24th. For all things sports gambling, download the SportsGrid app, pregame, in-game, postgame, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. For my producer, Maddie George, Vinny, who always does a great job with graphics, we'll be back with another Betting Above the Rim podcast on Wednesday, but the best thing I can tell you, remember, it's smarter to be on SportsGrid. Good night.